Blog Talk Radio.
Your place, love connection. Your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment. Here's your host, Dr. Susie.
Hello.
Oh,
Dr. Susan can't hear you. Sure, you're probably on. Our scripture is John 1:1-18. And it reads, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, 'This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from this his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He was made. He has made him known.'" God is blessed through the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word, for it is the word of God.
Amen.
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 Amen. Lord, we come before you now, asking that you lead, guide, and direct us through tonight's Bible study. Lord, you know our desire to understand the word. You know our desire to understand what it means to fortify our home. And so we're asking, Lord, help us understand how to strengthen our shelter, our temple. Help us to understand that. And Dr. Nix has taken us through several things, Lord. We're just asking that tonight we would be able to focus and understand what it means to have foundation, our scripture is the foundation for our security. Help that to come clear and be that which we are able to take back home and to study and to keep and to walk with and to share with and to grow in that learning tonight. We also thank those who are listening on the line tonight, Lord, that you might hear. Let them hear directly from you so that they know they've been truly touched by you. We ask these blessings now in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray. Amen.
Amen.
So,
amen.
This month is a very interesting month, and we are talking about the title, Fortifying Your House, Your Shelter. And last week we talked about making sure your faith is not in yourself but in God. And then we talked about securing the temple with the power of God. And this week we're going to talk about scripture as the foundation or the security. So, Dr. Nooks, if you are ready to go, let's go.
Amen, my brothers and sisters. We are talking about the foundation tonight. And, of course, we initially talked about our house being our spiritual house, our spiritual being, and fortifying that. And how do we fortify it, and how do we provide security for our spirit being? How do we now build it up? And we want to talk about the scripture tonight. And we use the term, the scripture is the foundation for the security for our house. And I'm sure that many of you understand the concept of a foundation. And you also understand the security, like you have in a house when you get a security system put in. And the foundation, of course, you can't build a house without a foundation, and because the house will not stand. So I think that's really significant when we think about our spirit life, our connection with God. If we don't have a good foundation, how can we stand? And, you know, in Ephesians 6, when we talk about the whole armor of God, it says put on the whole armor of God that we would be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So we need a foundation, and we're proposing tonight that Scripture is that foundation. And so I'd just like to open it up. First of all, who do we have online tonight? I know we have Dr. Susie, and I think I heard Brian from Maine. Anyone else?
Brett.
Hey, Brett, how are you doing?
Doing great, sir.
Good. So I just like to just get some input from all of you right away on the concept. How can the Word, how can Scripture be the foundation for our house, for our spiritual lives? How can Scripture be a foundation, the foundation for that? And just like to hear from you, and we're sharing with those that are going to be listening in, and we just want to get some input, and then we're going to get into our discussion of the lesson. We have several scriptures that we want to look at, but for those that are listening in, to help them understand about how Scripture can be the foundation or the security for our house. And Dr. Susie, Brian, Britt, just like a comment from all of you on that.
This is Brian from Maine. You know, the word that we have, you know, for us as mere humans, to be able to read and to feel and to enjoy, it's essentially those words of revelation which the Lord has given us to guide our mm-hmm. life. So it's the foundation in this human existence. It's not everything about God, but it's what He chose to give us that is sufficient for us as human beings to know how to live, how to treat each other, and how to end up with Him in heaven. That's really how it provides the foundation. He's given us everything we need so that our meager, minimal human brains can get everything we need.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brian.
This is Brett.
Yes, Brett.
As Christians, we have a belief system as something that we know is true, but we haven't seen it. And the scriptures are, I'll just say it this way, the Bible is our rock. It's our foundation. It is what we base our belief on in Jesus Christ and God the Father. Without this, we have nothing to support what we say that we believe in.
Amen. Amen. That's true.
That was it.
Dr. Susie, you want to have a comment on that about how Scripture is foundational and gives us security?
Well, the Scripture is truly the foundation, and Jesus is the cornerstone. We can't, it's like building a house on the sand.
Mm-hmm.
That it will give in, and to have a firm foundation, we got to stay in the vine. We got to stay connected to the life source. And that life source is what becomes the foundation that we continue to build on until we see Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And I'd just like to share an analogy. For 35 years, I was an engineer, and we had many projects. And I remember several of the project buildings that we built, and we built the buildings on land that had a lot of water underneath, so the ground was not steady. You couldn't build big, tall buildings on land that had a lot of water that was like 2 or 3 feet down. So we had to drive piles, long wooden or metal spikes into the ground, down 100 feet, 50 feet, in order to hit solid rock so that we could have a foundation to build the buildings. And it reminds me of what we have today. Sometimes we have to go deep in order to hit that foundation, and it seems like we piled so much junk on top of the foundation that we used to have till it's hard to hit it sometimes. But our lives need that foundation in order for us to build up, just like Dr. Susie and Brian and Britt have said. So, and then if you don't have a good solid foundation, you don't have security either, because you don't know if you're going to fall or not. So that's what our lesson is about tonight, and we want to look first of all at Romans 15, 1 through 7, and we're going to get to John 1, 1 through 18, but can somebody read for us Romans 15, 1 through 7? And again, our subject is Scripture is the foundation or security for our house, to fortify our house or our shelter. Somebody have a Bible that they can read Romans 15, 1 through 7? I'll read it. Somebody have one?
I have it in the message. This is Brian.
Oh, that would be great, Brian.
I also have it in the New Living Translation.
Okay, why don't we read it in the message, and then you read it in the New Living Translation. That way we get a good understanding of it. Go ahead, Brian.
Thank you. Those of us who are strong and able in the faith need to step in and lend a hand to those who falter, and not just do what is most convenient for us. Strength is for service, not status. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can we help? That's exactly what Jesus did. He didn't make it easy for himself by avoiding people's troubles, but waded right in and helped out. I took on the troubles of the troubled, is the way Scripture puts it. Even if it was written in Scripture long ago, you can be sure it's written for us. God wants the combination of his steady, constant, calming and warm personal counsel in Scripture to come out to characterize us, keeping us alert for whatever he will do next. Many may our dependably steady and warmly personal God develop maturity in you so that you get along with each other as well as Jesus gets along with all of us. Then we'll be a choir. Not our voices only, but our very lives singing in harmony in a stunning anthem to the God and Father, our Master Jesus. So reach out and welcome one another to God's glory. Jesus did it. Now you do it. Jesus, staying true to God's purposes, reached out in a special way to the Jewish insiders so that the old ancestral promises would come true for them. As a result, the non-Jewish outsiders had been able to experience mercy and to show appreciation for God. Just think of all the scriptures that will come true in what we do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's great. Dr. Susie, you want to share in the New Living Translation?
I have Romans 15, 1,
yeah,
through
1 through 7.
7?
Yes.
It says, "We who are strong must be considerate of those who are sensitive about things like this. We must not just please ourselves. We should help also do what is right and build them up in the Lord." It says we should help others do what is right and build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't live to please himself. As the scriptures say, "The insult of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me." Such things were written in the scriptures long ago to teach us, and the scriptures gave us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. May God, who gives the patience and encouragement, help you live in complete harmony with each other, as is fitting for followers of Christ Jesus. 6, then all of you can join together with one voice, giving praise and glory to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And read 7.
Amen.
"Therefore, accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory." Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That text says a whole lot. I was focused on the part about scripture, or whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. But the text says more than that, and I just wanted to get some input from Brian and Dr. Susie and Brett about what that text says to you. Remembering our theme is about scripture is the foundation or security to fortify our house. Well, it starts out. Go ahead, Brian.
I think about people often as I see them go through their lives. You know, people in traffic, people walking on sidewalks, people at stores where I'm shopping who are themselves shopping as well. And what this scripture made me think of this evening is for every single one of them, no matter what they look like, what it looks like they have or don't have, or whatever else they've experienced in their life so far, the book that we know about and that we appreciate and enjoy so much has everything that that person needs as well. They may read the same passages we read and be given different messages through it for themselves, but it has everything they need in it, and there's no exception.
Amen.
This is Dr. Susie.
Yes.
You know, the scripture is talking about fortifying the body, making a temple strong. And the piece that jumps out at me related to that is that when we are attacked, it says, "The insults of those who insult you, O God, have fallen on me." Such things were written to teach us.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep thinking about the stuff we have to bear.
Yes, yes.
Come on.
Not just in our physical bodies, but our emotional selves. That is a part of our temple. And we have stuff falling on us, coming at us constantly. We have barragement with ethnic challenges and race and culture and people putting others down. That's why I think the scripture is so much talking about having to build people up, because the world we're living in right now pick and chooses who it wants to build up but tears folk down. And it says, as the scripture says, the insults. Then it goes on to talk about it was written to teach us. And I'm
my
like,
Lord.
Yes. My yes. Lord, you've been trying to get us to get this, to penetrate our skulls, that it really is about community. It's about harmony. And as long as we refuse to be at one, united with others, we will have fibromyalgia. We're going to have depression. We're going to have all kind of mental health challenges that plague our body, stress, tension, things that will cause us challenge. Because it says clearly that this kind of thing is destruction to the body. God is asking us to stand on God's promises.
My
encouragement
Lord.
Is we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. That's what he says. Stand on my promises. So God knew, that's why this is a teaching point, is that all we were going to be barraged with all of the negative. But Whitney Houston said this song, step by step, row by row, brick by brick. And she says, don't let the bad stuff get to you. And I kept thinking about that. As we go step by step on our journey, she talks about how this old road is rough and ruined. And I think about this journey that we're on as Christians. It's rough and ruined. It's tough. This world we live in it's not for wusses. You got to be strong to make it through. We have people who give up every day. You get 21 vets that die a day. 21, just the veterans. That's not even the general population. So
yes.
People who are giving up, and
all
because
right.
they need patience and encouragement, and one another.
Amen. And they need God's word, amen.
Which is the promise.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. So, Dr. Susan, you really brought up, something in my mind, and is that it's God knew all the things that we were going to be going through and gave us scripture and words to help us. And we are reluctant to rely on these gifts of wisdom and spirit that God has given us to help us through these difficult times that surely we will face. Jesus said they hated me. They're going to hate you. So you just sparked a real thought in my mind, about how God has prepared help for us in the time of need. If we would only,
amen.
Only reach out.
And I think sometimes, I don't know whether this is possible or not, but it seems as if the enemy has peeked in our future and he knows just what to do to destroy everything or to attempt to what God has planned for our lives. And that's why, Dr. Nooks, when you talk about, when you say what you just said about the need to Can you restate what you just said? I had the perfect answer for it.
That God knew what we would need for the difficult times, if we would only reach out and take what the gift that God has given us. God knew what we were going to be going through, and I think he knows what we need, and he's given it to us. But
and the enemy knows some of it, and that's
mm-hmm.
exactly what I was going to say. Thank you. And because the enemy knows or is aware of some of it, whether we mention it and we give him tools to work, you know, tools to work with, however he comes about getting the information. But he uses that information to lead us and discourage us and to create havoc in our minds, because that's the battleground, so that we don't stand on the promises, so we don't validate what God has said, so we don't live out and exercise that which we know.
Amen.
Amen.
I know I'm not the only one.
There's another dimension. There's another dimension to this as well. We as Christians know and are confident in our future. Amen for that, because we know no
Amen.
Matter what else happens, you know, we will be in the presence of God Almighty after our bodies fail or are taken out. But yet we are also human beings. We do value our human bodies. We do value our life on earth. None of us want to rush to our death. You know, we're hoping to live for a while. We're hoping to not be injured so that we don't feel pain, and we're hoping not to be locked away in a prison so that we lose our freedom. And those are all human fears and human characteristics. That's what the evil one plays on. He, you know, he knows that we value what we have here on earth, especially our bodies and our existence. And that's what he attacks, and that's what he puts us in a position of wanting to preserve somehow when those tough times come, or it's time to speak with someone, and we have a second thought, like, well, gee, I'm at work, should I risk it or not? That's the battleground, really, for us as Christians. We've already won the big battle. We already have been saved, but the enduring battle is that decision. Do we preserve ourselves on earth, or do we just let it all go and let the chips fall where they may?
My Lord.
Well,
my Lord.
You know, I would push it even further, Brian, to say that we are challenged to let go of things. We hold on to material things, and we let the enemy beat us up about things, when God is saying, you know, he talked about the man with the barn. Your life might be required of you today. The focus is not on things, but what that one can do to one's soul, the scripture. And so we need to be focused on enjoying the relationship with Jesus Christ, asking, listening, hearing what God is saying and how to move, that we shouldn't do anything without consulting the Lord. And as a result, this scripture says we'll live in harmony with one another.
Amen.
So,
amen. Amen.
And it's about accepting each other, it says, as Christ accepted us. So if somebody's a little different from you, some things about them you don't like, it ain't about you.
Amen.
It's about accepting people
Amen.
Where they are.
Amen.
This is Brett.
Into that. Go ahead, Brett. Yes.
Yeah. The one thing in these seven verses here that really stuck in my mind is the fourth one. It says, for everything that was written in the past. Now, if we look at Romans, where Romans is situated in the Bible, we have to look at everything in the Old Testament and half of the New Testament. That's a lot of scripture.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point of it is, it says that it was written in the past to teach us. Now, how much scripture do we need to be taught? How long does that have to take to sink in before people get what God is trying to tell them, what he's been saying through every Bible and or every chapter, or I'm trying to get my head together.
Every verse and chapter.
Every book.
Yeah.
In every book of the Bible, he's telling us the same thing. Okay?
Yeah.
Our problem is that we don't want to listen. Somebody has said that Satan knows things, and he does, because we have to remember Satan was with God when he created this heaven and earth. If you go back in scripture, you'll find that. It talks about how when Jesus made Satan, what his job was, how he was clothed, how he was adorned with jewels and trumpets and everything else that you could have. If you look at that back in Ezekiel, it gives you the impression that what we call Satan now might have been created to praise and to preach. But then he thought he was more powerful than God the Father. And so now we are in a situation like we are now. But the whole thing about it is that we have got to believe, we got to know that what has been written in the past is for us to understand why we have to believe. Because it encourages us to have hope. And if you don't have hope for anything, what future do you have? What good are you? What good are you to your kids? What good are you to your wife or girlfriend or your mom or dad? A person without hope is a lost person. And that's what we are supposed to do. We are supposed to take those lost people, lift them up, turn them around, get them started in the right direction, because that's what God wants us to do.
Amen. And brother, there's a whole lot of people without hope today. And that's so true. I just wanted to read the first few verses here again, and because these are instructions, God's scriptures, and we who are strong have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and
all
not
right.
to please ourselves. And I, you know, so much stuff is happening in our country today, but, you know, it's when they talked about the fact that we want people to come here that are able to stand on their own two feet. Somebody makes a statement like that, then you look at God's word and says that we have an obligation to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, to build him up. We ought to be building up each other, for Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. So these are words in scripture that we ought to be trying to lift people up and bear with the failings of the weak. And that goes with what we ought to be doing, I think, to build up our house and our foundation. And once we do that, then we are to help other people. And sometimes we miss the boat in that respect. I want us to look at 2 Timothy 3:14-17. Can somebody get that for us? 2 Timothy 3:14-17. Scripture is the foundation / security. Scripture is the foundation / security. That's our theme for tonight. 2 Timothy 3:14-17. And that might be good to be read in the New Living Translation and the Message, too, to get a better understanding. So, Brian in Maine, do you have it in the message? 2 Timothy 3:14-17. And Dr. Susie or Britt, do you have it in another translation?
Brian has switched to New Living Translation. I have 2 Timothy. Which verse?
Okay. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3:14-17. 2 Timothy 3:14-17.
Still working on it.
Okay.
This is Britt. I got it. 2 Timothy 3. What was that again? 14-17?
Yes, 14-17.
It says, but, now I got this in the New International Version. It says, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it. And how, from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scriptures is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. I'll say that again. Is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So Scripture is the foundation, security. So what does this text teach us? What can we get from this message from 2 Timothy? And of course, we know that Paul is writing to Timothy, his son in the ministry, helping to prepare him for ministry. And we know that Timothy was raised by a grandmother and a mother that taught him the Scriptures.
This is Brett. In
yes,
15,
Brett.
It says, and how from infancy you have known the Scriptures. As an infant, think about it. Babies crawling around. Been taught, you've heard it. You've been taught it. And now you're grown. And what are you going to do with it? That's basically what it's saying. It says that the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. It's supposed to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. If we had been taught that from being a baby up until now, surely we should be able to walk by faith and not by sight. That's it.
Amen. As all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness.
Amen.
That the man or woman, man and woman of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So what do we think about that regarding the Scripture? Scripture is foundational.
Dr. Nooks, let me add one other thing to this. What we're talking about tonight, all of that has to do with us, as we said back a few months ago, when we were talking about putting on the armor of God. You
yes.
got to be equipped. You got to be equipped. You can't go out there with no bullets. You can't go out there with no spears. You can't go out there with our game plan. And this is part of the game plan. Get your mind right. Get your heart right. Get your soul right. Then you'll be able to take on whatever it is that Satan's trying to throw at you. You don't have to worry about diabetes or fibromyalgia or heart, heart attacks or Miller diseases or anything else, because God's got you. Believe me, God's got you, and he can turn things around. But it's according to your faith, and that's what we're talking about, your faith, your hope. That's part of your foundation of who you are and what you believe in. And without that, you're lost. I'm done.
Amen. Now, we just have a few more minutes. Dr. Susie or Brian in Maine, do you have any more comments on that, on 2 Timothy 3:14-17? Because I just wanted to say. Okay.
I was thinking a while it was being read that we're speaking of an eternal God. So we're speaking about scripture which is given to us at this time, in this very short 12,000 or so year period of time where we as humans populate this planet. But this scripture is inspired from an eternal God who has no beginning and will have no end. So the impact of that thought is, we're given words to help us through this life from a God who is infinite. And so that's a pretty powerful and pretty strong foundation and gives us all the security that we need.
Amen. Amen. Were you going to say something, Dr. Susie?
I was just saying that's 2 Timothy is just one of my favorite places to go. It's strong in relationship development. And I would have that if we only learn one thing about the temple and how to strengthen it, is that the word of God will make you strong. The word of God will help you stand. The word of God will give you that relationship so that you and Jesus is enough and all you need. So
Amen.
If you're walking and you're not quite sure what to say, start to read those texts and put those texts in your spirit so that you can pull them out and use them when you're having warfare. And we have it every day. If we profess to be Christians, the enemy is doing something every day to deter us. And so we can stand
Amen.
On God's word.
Amen.
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 This is Britt.
Yes, Britt.
I was just thinking, as Dr. Susie was talking, there's a song that Reverend James Cleveland used to do in the Gospel Music Workshop of America. And the song is called Jesus, He Included Me.
Yes.
And the thing is, if you listen to those words, and I'm sure you can pull it up on YouTube or something like that, but everything that Jesus has done, He's included all of us. And these scriptures that are our foundation are to fortify us so that we do not allow ourselves to slip back into something that we can't return from. Jesus came for a mission to do something for us, and he did it. And when he died, he included us. He said, you will have everlasting life. And the thing is, people are hard-pressed to believe in the truth. They'll believe a lie before they believe anything else.
Amen.
Anything that's shiny or anything that has a dollar attached to it, they'll go for that in a heartbeat. But the thing is we have to be steadfast. That's another song. Steadfast and and not be moved. The thing is that,
unmovable, always abounding. Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah.
See, there's a song for to help fortify us too, just like the scriptures are. The thing is, we got to be open to. We have to open our heart and our spiritual mind and allow the word of God to penetrate us to make us have more strength to carry on and do the things that we need to do to be able to come up against whatever Satan is trying to throw at us. When your friends or relatives come to you and they got a heavy heart or they're having problems, you should be able to rely on your faith to allow the right word to come out to encourage that person to not give up and allow them to move on with their lives. I'm done.
Yeah. Well, Brett, you said an important phrase there. You said people will believe a lie before they'll believe the truth.
Right.
And I see so much evidence of that in our culture today. And what and we're talking about Scripture being the foundation, and Scripture,
amen,
the Word of God, the Word of God being true. And if you need to have truth in order to build anything on. If you have, you can't build a lie. And we have so much lying going on, and we need to have the Scriptures are the Word of God, and so they're true. So that is foundational. We can build on the truth. But if people are telling lies all the time, then it's hard to get anywhere, because you don't know where the truth is at. You can't find it in a bunch of lies. So I think that's important what you just said there. It's 7:54. I had about two or three more scriptures that I wanted to read, but I wanted to get to our text for tonight. Just maybe we can read John 1:1-18, because when you think of scripture, you think of the Word of God, and the Word of God in John 1:1-18 is Jesus. So I wanted us to read that and have some comments on that. We only got 5 minutes left. So does anybody have that John 1:1-18? If not, I'll go ahead and read it. Let me do that, and so we can have some comment on that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." So we have the text about Jesus and being the Word of God. And when we think of Scripture, we think of the Word of God. So Jesus is the manifestation, to me, of the Word of God. And just like to get some comments from Dr. Susie and Brian and Brett as we turn it over to Dr. Susie. It's 3 minutes till 8 now. But in the concept of Scripture is the foundation or security. And to me, Jesus coming into the world gave us some foundation and some security, but I wanted to hear from you all to share with our listeners.
Well, Jesus is the answer.
Okay.
Yeah, Jesus is the answer to all the questions.
Amen. Amen. Brett and Dr. Susie, do you have any comments on John 1, 1 through 18? And again, Scripture is the foundation. The Word of God is the foundation. And here we have Scripture about Jesus being the Word.
This is Brett. This is one of the scriptures that I learned, I guess, when I was like 11 or 12. It was just something about John 1 and how it starts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. I have carried that in my heart for many years because that spoke out to me that the Word and God and Jesus Christ, if you carry that in your heart, if you carry the words that God the Father spoke in the Old Testament, if you carry in your heart the new words that Jesus is going to be talking about coming up, because this is the introduction of where Jesus is made known, because if you go into the next, like 1920, somewhere down and through there, it talks about when John the Baptist saw Jesus coming, walking towards him. And keep in mind, these are cousins. So you know your own kinfolk. And what has happened from that moment when John the Baptist baptized Jesus Christ up until now, this is what we as Christians should be living for. This is what we should be rejoicing every day. When you get up and you see daylight, rejoice in Jesus' name. Rejoice in the Lord, because, hey, you didn't have to be here today. Then pray and put on that armor of God. Make sure you got your foundation with you, because you don't know what you're going to come up against. God will send you people that you should be able to handle with your faith. And your faith should be strong enough that you should be able not only to know Scripture about it, but be able to give an accounting from your own experience, so that people will be more drawn to you and to take you as being authentic. The problem is that we got too many people out here that sit up and fake things and lie about stuff, trying to get a point across, and they have no idea what they're talking about. That's where the false prophets come in, or that's where the false teachings come in. You've got to be able to know what you're talking about. You've got to have been, or you need to be able to count on some kind of experience that you've gone through.
I'm sorry,
so
but I did not hear you
us.
Press at least 4 digits of your PIN number.
Hello?
Dr. Susie, you
yes,
on?
I'm here.
The PIN you entered does not match the PIN you have on file for your account. Please re-enter your PIN. To start
somebody's
your show now,
PIN number,
since it appears you're calling back into a live
message.
Show, we are reconnecting you now.
Wow. Can you hear me now?
Yes,
yes.
I can.
Okay. That was different. That was different.
See
the devil, even the devil knows we're on course for it. He's trying to stop us from talking, shoot.
Yeah. Well, Dr.
Well,
Susie, we're...
one of the things I want to remind us about is, you know, Brett, you're always on the strong end of the ministry pieces when you always talk about what it is that we should be doing. But I always have to come behind you because we're not all there yet. Some of us have more experience and practice, and God is still, you know, tenderly helping many of us. But I do agree with you. We should be encouraged to move in that direction without excuses, you know. So I'm with you 110%, but I also understand the frailty of humanity. And so as we go forward and looking at strengthening our temple, our house, our shelter, you know, this is something that some of us might be taking for granted, but, you know, those of you who listened out there tonight, who hear the plea for you to strengthen your temple, your body, this thing to protect it, this is a war cry. Because if you don't take it seriously, I guarantee you that the enemy will mop up the floor with you. If you don't start to look at ways to strengthen your temple, your house, your shelter, and be serious about it, I'm talking about leaving alone alcohol, leaving alone cigarette smoke, marijuana, whatever it is, because that's impacting the temple, your house, your shelter. And the Bible talks clearly about how God wants to reside in that shelter. And I want to find a text, Dr. Nooks, if any of you go get to it before I do. It's the scripture that where God talks about a temple of clay.
Earthen vessels?
Yes.
Yeah, it's Second Corinthians 4, I think it's verse 7, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, earthen vessels, to show them the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us.
Absolutely.
2 Corinthians 4:7, yeah.
But it's the idea. I want to read the whole. Do you have the passage up?
Yes, I do. It's, I mean, we could start at 7 and go down to 15, but the whole thing is 4 through 12.
I want to read this piece. I want to read this piece. It says, if you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this message around in the unadorned clay pots. We're talking about a shelter. We're talking about a temple of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone, y'all listen to this clearly, from confusing God's incomparable power with us. It ain't about you. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles. We are cracked pots. But the Lord we serve is able to bring forth from that crackness, from that weakness, from that broken vessel, because it says clearly that there's a treasure within us.
Amen.
So, Dr. Nooks, if you read that part about the treasure, the earthen vessel that carries the treasure. Well, let me finish while you look at 1-4. Go ahead. You got it?
It starts at 7.
Wait a second. It says, let me finish this. You know for yourselves we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles, but we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do. But we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hadn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't been broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us, trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us, he lives. Hmm. Our lives are at a constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And then it goes on to say, so we're
Amen.
Not giving up. But go ahead.
Amen.
Go ahead,
now, you're reading it from the Message. You got it in the Message. I didn't have it in the Message. That, go ahead and read it. You've already read most of it.
Yeah, I didn't have 1 through 7 pulled up. I was just reading the part I had
you didn't
7
need,
through.
That's the only part you need. That's you don't need the 1 through.
Yeah,
7 through 15 is really all you need, but really 7 through 12 probably takes care of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what you read
so
is
the
fine.
The point is that it says every detail worked to your advantage in the God of glory. And what we believe is that the one who raised up the Master Jesus will just as certainly raise us up with you. We're not giving
Amen.
Up.
Amen.
How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us. Hallelujah. On the inside, where God is making new life. Not a day goes by without his unfolding grace. Talking about a house made with clay, a crackpot. Come on, somebody. These hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times. The best is yet to come. The lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow, but the things we cannot see now will last forever. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Could you close us out with prayer and extend the offering?
Yeah, there's maybe someone on the line that is hearing what we're talking about tonight and hearing about this security and foundation in Christ and in God's word. And God wants to save you. God loves you. I don't care where you're at, what you've been doing all your life. God wants to save you and meet you right where you are right now today. You can't get yourself right. Just come to God as you are. And God wants you to reach out. So if you will pray with me, God, I love you. I realize that I've messed up a lot in my life. I've sinned. And I want to be saved today. I give my life to you. I believe that Jesus is your son, that he rose from the dead. He took my sins upon himself, and I just want him to come into my life right now and make me a new creature, a new person. And I want to serve you, God, and I want to love people even as you love us all. Thank you for all that you are, God, and I receive you into my life. Thank you. And there may be someone also that's listening in that just is confused about God and about Scripture and all these different translations and everything. Know this, that Jesus manifests the Word of God. And Jesus loved you so much that he died for you. And he wants to be a part of you, and he's pleading your case right now at the right hand of the Father. And that kind of love is supernatural love. It's above and beyond anything we can imagine. And Jesus wants you to be a part of him. And not only that, but God has sent his Holy Spirit to help you in every situation. And we commend that Spirit to you today. We ask you just to reach out to God. And God, we need your help today. And we seek it because we mess up so often. And it's just good to know that you are a forgiving God. And you take our sin and put it as far as the east is from the west. God, thank you for forgiving us. Thank you for loving us. Bless this Bible study. Bless our leader, Dr. Susie, in a special way. Give us your direction. Help us to build on our foundation. In Jesus'
yes.
name we pray. Amen.
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 Thanks for listening to Your Place Love Connection, your place of prayer, love, acceptance, compassion, and empowerment.
Hello?
I've got it. I'm trying to get to be quiet. I don't want this on the end of the tape.